I don't know which scripture to read before releasing our sweetheart over there, because as you can see, I've pretty much put something from everywhere in the bulletin. If you see, I've gone from Genesis to Revelation and the old and new in between. I've got, and I didn't put all of them, so maybe it's not necessarily designed to be read in this worship service, but I don't know about you, but I keep the bulletin, and I either look at it beforehand or after, and so it's meant to be for further reading. So let's read the one from Matthew 18. Actually, I have a different translation, probably. I've always wanted this on my license plate. This is the license plate that I've always wanted, and I haven't figured out how to get it. They turned me down because it's not in the right syntax. Matthew 18, verse 21. Let's start with 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" Seven was the big number. Seven was the number of completeness and wholeness throughout the Bible. "Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times 70. So let's look in our hearts, see where we're ticked off over and over and over again, and see how often we're supposed to not keep count. Okay, the kids can go. Kidlet. And that goes for ourselves too, doesn't it? I think sometimes we're more unforgiving of ourselves than anybody else in our world, but maybe not. I chose sevens because I got up in the meeting for worship a month ago or something, and I was absolutely euphoric because I felt like God had given me a new lease on life, as they say, through knowing me, through knowing more about me than I know about me, and giving me a way out of my not seeing any way out. And in my case, I didn't tell you what it was because we're all different. How God will rescue you is different than how God rescued me. And I have my problem. I hate to say my problem because that might narrow things down. You say, "Oh, well, that's not my problem." So, click. But my problem was activation. You know, I really enjoy doing work or play. It's very enjoyable to do work or to do play. I don't see the difference, really. But I cannot activate myself to do either one most of the time when I'm on my own. I have nobody to be accountable to except me, I guess. And I just cannot get myself to start. And it's so frustrating, and I'm so unhappy. But if something activates me by chance, then I'm happy, buzzing around doing whatever it is that's for fun. And it's fun. So what happened was the Lord put this idea in my head out of the blue to turn to turn all those things swimming in my mind that I want to do into a game. Because I could do puzzles. I don't need to be activated to do puzzles, especially word puzzles. I love word puzzles. And so for me, I sat down and I created an alphabet with focus words on them that had to do with the things that I can't get myself to do. D, dust. C, clean. Things like that. And I found that I could activate through that by thinking of it as a game, not as a responsibility or whatever was hanging me up. Anyway, so early on this year, I agreed or volunteered to speak once per quarter on the first Sunday of each quarter, hoping that other people would set up, you know, so other people would do that and we'd have it all covered. Each time it would come up, where's the activation? I'm not activated, I can't get activated, I can't figure out how to go about coming up with what to say. But I wasn't worried really, because I felt God was helping me in who I am, just as he helps you in the way you are. And so the messages were surprising to me each time, and so will this be. And I started to think about the sevens as a kind of a game. All the sevens in the Bible that mean something to me. The seven, the creation story in Genesis, the 6 days of work and the 1 day of rest. And read that, and it was so enriching to read. All the way through to Revelation, where there is a message from God to each of the angels of seven churches. To the angels of seven churches. And so to have it from the beginning to the last book of the Bible, this kind of connectivity of God helping us reset our lives and find our path and get activated to accept and embrace what we are doing for God, for good, and also to listen to what God is saying about, but you should be doing this as well, and finding the Spirit to help energize us for that. So, and in between is the Psalms. One of my favorites has always been the seven things that the Lord hates. I kind of like that one, so I thought maybe we could read that one as well. And that's in, so get a Bible, and we'll start looking at some of these things. In the Psalms, Proverbs, it's Proverbs, we'll do Proverbs. Proverbs 6, which is after the Psalms. Now this, whoever has it, who has it? Do you have it, Arjun?
What?
Proverbs 6.
I have it.
Would you stand, please, and read verses 12 through 15?
Okay. A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, scrapes with his teeth, points with his finger, with perverted heart devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment he will be broken beyond healing.
That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? I mean, April, I don't think you were alone in your feeling desperate and alone. And these words have kind of helped me. And who can stand and do the next one? 16 through 19. Yeah.
There are six things which the Lord hates. Yes, seven which are an abomination to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, the hands that shed innocent blood. Moment, please.
Yep.
A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that run rapidly to evil, false is weapons.
Yeah. There's encouragement there. You know, I remember when I first became a Christian, a coworker of mine says, "How can you be a Christian? I mean, you can't go through life with rose-colored glasses," she said. And I felt that was like the opposite of my understanding of being a Christian, because the story of the Bible is God's coming to us over and over and over again, whether we are the victims or whether we're the ones causing trouble. And often it's both at once at the same time. And that's the story of God's helping and saving grace. And if you read the Genesis story, well, those first... The eons of creating the world from beginning to saying, now it's a time of rest on the seventh day. And he's talks about God making all the grass and the herbs for all of the creatures of the earth and human beings to feed on. And it just sounded absolutely wonderful, the teeming with kinds of undersea life and all the animal life and dividing the waters and starting with light and making it so magnificent. And I learned, and I've never heard it disproven, that science, no matter what science is doing to come up with how everything evolved, it's still in the right order, that story. Nobody has ever come up with anything that says, well, no, that couldn't be the order of things. No, it has proven itself, I think, to be starting with whatever, God, and creating light, dividing the darkness, creating the firmament, the heavens, and then all of the seas and the land and the creatures and the humans, and then saying, oh, by the way, the humans, you're stewards of all of this. It's up to you. And there it is. And so throughout history, we are not abandoned. God is helping us to fulfill those tasks. So now let's go to the seven churches in Revelation. The key to reading Revelation, if you ever wonder about reading the Bible but you skip the book of Revelation because it's too out there, the key to reading the book of Revelation is to focus on the songs and focus on the things that you know. And so in the book of Revelation, it's chapter 2. This again is, you know, two things about hate. Hate is not anger. Hate is saying, as far as I'm concerned, you don't exist. But all of this anger can be God-given. There's righteous anger. And God can be angry and want to, but doesn't want to give up on us. And so many of these churches had different situations. I took a course on it, and I've taught a course on it way back when on the book of Revelation, this book's the letters to the churches, and it's really just amazing how God's showing he knows exactly their situation, who they are, what they're up against. Everyone is different, and he has the RX for their problems in this. And so often the word that God is giving them, he'll say, I know you, I know what you're going through, and I know that this is good, but, and then he will explain this in this letter, what it is they need to do. And often it's to hold on to what you have, hold on to what may be dying within you. And so I urge you to read these letters more thoroughly on your own path. But let's take a look at, to show this. There's seven churches. Four are done in chapter 2 and three in chapter 3. And let's do the first couple. To the angel of the church of Ephesus. Okay, that's the first one. And okay, verse 2. Would someone like to read that loud and clear?
I'll read it.
Okay, loud and clear. I know your works and go.
Your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear evil men, but have tested those who call themselves apostles, but are not, and found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently, and bearing up for your name, for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this you have, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
Yes, thank you. Now, no one's ever found out, no scroll has been upturned that I know of to know who those Nicolaitans were or what they thought, which is kind of annoying. We want to know, but he's not saying stop doing what you're doing, but he's saying remember your first love, that positive, that love, and do those first works. And don't just concentrate on what you hate and what you are laboring against. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. And so he's not condemning them. He loves them so much. He's saying what you need to be doing. Okay. Now the next one. To the angel of the church of Smyrna. Angel means kind of messenger, the messenger of Smyrna. Who'd like to read that one? To stand up and read that one. Dorothy, nice and loud.
To the angel of the church of Smyrna, write, these are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life again. I know how hard pressed you are and poor, and yet you are rich. I know you are slandered by those who claim to be Jews but are not. They are Satan's synagogue. Do not be afraid of the suffering to come. The devil will throw some of you into prison to put you to the test, and for 10 days you will suffer cruelly. Only be faithful till death, and I will give you the crown of life. Hear, you who have ears to hear, what the Spirit says to the churches. He who is victorious cannot be harmed by the second death.
Yes. So that's not pie in the sky. He's saying, trust me and you're going to get out of this unscathed. In this particular case, he's saying, the last word is that is all good. You're not going to experience the second death. But these people were facing the ultimate in terms of this temporal world. They were suffering and going to die physically. And he says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. He doesn't say, don't worry, don't be afraid, you're not going to be in suffering. So maybe that's, you know, that can help us be strong. To say, okay, even if we suffer, even if those that we are trying to help suffer and die, it's not the last word. I mean, this is life. We can't pretend it's not. And that's what's so great about having this, these scriptures and the prayer of the people who know God and don't sugarcoat it. Now, they're all good. All these letters are just great. And you can see something in each one of them. It's not like which one of these is us. I mean, there's something in all of them, I find, that is energizing, that can give us the strength and courage to go on. If we did a class on these letters, would you come? Our meeting school doesn't have nearly enough people in it. We've got some good people, but we need to energize it. And some of this is really wonderful. Would you come? 10 o'clock, adult school? Think about it, because this is a lot of meaty material here. I thought another seven things that we could do is sing some songs. And so before we go in, do we have time? What time? Let's see, it's quarter to 12 right now. So we normally go to after 12 to 12:10, 12:15, something like that. But let's sing some songs. These are all a cappella. We've done this one before. Let's do this one, the one called Be Strong. It's short. I sang it in open worship one time. And here's how it goes. Let's sing it three times, and by that time, you want to stand up? It goes, be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord. And be of good courage, for God is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for God is your guide. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. Is that too low? Is it too low? Let's go up higher. Be strong, be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for God is your guide. be strong, in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. One more time, and then that's it. Be strong, be strong in the Lord, and be of good courage, for God is your guide. Be strong, in the Lord, and rejoice, for the victory is yours. And then the waltz time below it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Let's try that again. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. Oh, I love how it warms up and you start getting into that, song. And, okay. The top of the world one, I'm hoping that one of these days Hal and I can do this as a ministry in music. We wanted to do it for years, and I think we should probably close for open worship because we have so much more to do. Okay, so praise to God.